few of you. I took a chapter out of Pastor's book. I'm going to preach with my laptop tonight. If you have your Bibles, go to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. Are we on? Yes, we are. Daniel chapter number 3. Many of you know this story, most if not all. It's about the three Hebrew boys and what they are about to come up to in life at this time. And as I was thinking about Daniel chapter number 3, I've taught it before with kids, never in an adult setting. So bear with me tonight, amen. But as I was thinking about this story and about this passage and about the truths that are in it, one thing that stuck out to my mind, how do you walk through the flame? How would you walk through the flame? And I want to pull out some things tonight that maybe can help you, can even help me, amen, as I get up here to preach. I preach to myself first. And can maybe help us when we're going through a trial, we're going through the fire, some things that the three Hebrew boys did that maybe can help us as we go through those times in our lives too. Daniel chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 16, says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner, in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosens, their hats, and all their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Did you catch that verse? I'm going to read it again. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. God, I just pray over the next few moments that you'd give me the words to say as we dive into your word. And God, I just pray that nothing I would say would be a hindrance, and I wouldn't say anything you wouldn't have me to. God, I just pray that you just fill me with your power and with your words tonight. God, I pray if there is one here that's going through a trial or through the fire, that they would know that you're there with us. And God, I just pray that you just be with us the next few moments in all that we say and do, Lord. And we'll thank you for it in your name. Amen. Amen. So as I think about Daniel chapter number 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like I said, most of us know this story. These three Hebrew boys were children back in Jerusalem in their homeland. And as King Nebuchadnezzar decided to come out, he took these boys along with others in the camp. If we were to go back in chapter number 1, it would explain what he did, how he chose those boys, and everything leading up to this point. The Bible talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were well-favored. They were cunning in knowledge. They were very smart. I wouldn't be picked of one of them, amen? So not very smart. So I'm safe from that. But he came in, they were cunning in knowledge. They had a good appearance. They look good. Amen. I'm out there too. So I might be 0-for-3, and that's okay. Amen. But King Nebuchadnezzar came in and took these boys and took them captive and brought them back to Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, everything that you've learned, everything that you grew up with and that you've known, forget it all. Forget it all. Here's what you're going to do, boys. And not just you, but everybody, you're going to bow down and serve my God, my gods that I make. You're going to do that. And if you don't, there's consequences to it. And I love how the king comes out and he says, boys, if you don't serve them, you will pay the price. Number one tonight, if you're taking points or taking notes, number one, what I see, the commitment that steered them. The commitment that steered them. You think, man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, way back then in chapter number one, when they were at their homeland, they made a choice. They made a decision. They made a commitment. No matter what, we are to serve God. Not a God, not little g God, but the one and true Jehovah Jireh God. Amen. They made a commitment back in those days. I think a lot of times when we go through a fire or we're going through a hard time and a struggle, we try to make that commitment right then and there. All of us know when we're in the trial, when we're in the fire, to make that commitment right then and there is going to be that much harder. If you make a commitment way back, if like the boys did, if they made a commitment, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to serve your false idols. It doesn't matter what you do to us. It doesn't matter that you serve a steak. It doesn't matter that you're going to serve us a big old glass of Dr. Pepper. It doesn't matter. We are not going to bow to what you want us to. And as the king goes on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said, O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, verse number 17, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Verse number 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. They made a commitment back then. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want to us. You know what? We are here for one purpose, and we are here to serve God. And if that means losing my life, I think if we're honest tonight, it's okay to be honest. Amen. If we're honest tonight, how many of us can say, it doesn't matter what you do to us. We may not be necessarily thrown into a burning fiery pit, but if we were to be honest tonight, can we actually say, I have committed to this day that no matter what, I will serve God. We can say it. We can say it, but our actions will speak louder. When it comes up to people at work that say, hey, can you come? Hey, or Great example. I love football, amen. Yeah. It's like a coworker coming up to me and say, hey, I got tickets to a Sunday night's football game. Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl, amen. What am I going to choose? Right. I can say, I'm going to choose God. But maybe deep down, it's like, man, I really kind of want to go to that football game. But I'm the song leader. I can't. Man, what am I going to? Brother Nathaniel, he can lead for me. He can cover me. Or Brother Matthew, amen. He can cover me. Man, I'd really like to go. Praise the Lord for DVR, amen. You know, on Sunday nights, when we're here at church and the boys are playing, I don't even worry about it. I can go home. I can rewind it. I can fast forward it. I have made a commitment. Even so more now that having kids, my kids look up to me and say, well, if dad doesn't care, why should I care? Yep. If dad says it's okay, it's okay. You have to make a commitment. Have you made a commitment tonight? Number one, the commitment that steered them. King, it doesn't matter what you do to us. We've committed that no matter what, we're going to serve God. Number two, the Christ that secured them. The Christ that secured them. When we think about what's going on in this story And I like to visualize things. I like to picture things out. And I can just imagine everything that's going on. The king plays his instruments and the music's going on. And everyone you just see bowing down. And these boys made the commitment that we're going to stand for what's right. If it cost us our life, we're going to stand. And we know that God will deliver us. But if not, O king, it doesn't matter. And then we go to the Christ that secured them. Christ that secured them. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more, that it want to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. One thing that I can picture here is now that the boys had told King Nebuchadnezzar, this is what's going to happen, this is what we're doing, this is where we're standing, it made the king so mad. And the king picked two of the best men in his group to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he wanted the furnace so hot. He wanted the furnace so hot that it killed the men that threw the boys in there. Just picture that in your mind. When I get too close to an oven or to an open fire, that hurts. I'm going to back away. These men were struck dead putting these boys into the burning fiery furnace. But the Bible says as they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they were bound. They had shackles on them. Amen. They had a rope around their hands and all their clothing that was on them. You know, when we go through the fiery furnace of life, when we go through trials and we go through things in life, can we picture in our mind, can we say to ourselves, are we like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Number one, have we committed? And number two, Christ has secured me. What do you say about that? Christ has given his life for me. I have Christ with me. I am secured in Christ. Pastors talks about it all the time. Put in the hand of God, no man can pluck them out. No man. No man is strong enough to pluck you out of God's hand. Not even King Nebuchadnezzar. And these boys are thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And they're thrown and they're cast down. And just picture this. The shackles that were on them, the rope was burned off. And all the clothes that were on them, it should have been burnt up, just like the rope what should have been. Amen. But they had no hurt. They had no pain. How many of you believe we still serve the same God right now in 2022 of October 26th that was in the Bible day of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? God is the same today, forever, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The same God that brought them through this burning fiery furnace is the same God that stands with us today, that can bring us through our trials and our problems and our tribulations. When we think about the Christ that secured them, and I think about how these boys were thrown down in the burning fiery furnace, what they could have done, and I think a lot of times what we as humans do, and we're human, amen, we're not perfect. I think these boys, they could have looked up and they could have gotten mad at the situation. They could have gotten mad that, well, why in the world, you know, why would God put us down here? Why would God let us go through this? You know, I love how the Bible just kind of makes itself clear, amen. It says where two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst, amen. And I think King Nebuchadnezzar made a mistake throwing them all in together, you know, amen. Two or three to gather together, there he is in the midst. You know, I think maybe if he would have thrown them one in, you know, maybe, and then the other one and let him burn up, and then the other one let him burn up, but he threw them all in together. And there was Christ in the midst. And when we think about it, in our own lives, and when we're going through this, and when we're going through the heartaches of life, and the troubles of life, and the struggles, and everything that's going on, when it seems like it is too much, and we want to quit, and we want to give up, instead of looking at the situation and blaming where we're at on God, why don't we look around? The Bible makes it very clear to us, He will never leave us, nor forsake us, ever. And that's what these boys had in mind, is God will never leave us nor forsake us. Even if we were to die in this pit, even if we were to die in the burning fiery furnace, God is still with us. Amen. And I think a lot of times, instead of looking up and complaining about the situation that we're in, let's look around and see where Christ is. Let's get close to Christ. And God, you've got me going through this situation for a reason. You've got me going through this trial for a reason. Is it to test my faith? Is it to have somebody else know that I'm going through something and maybe I could be an encouragement to them? God, what is the plan? You know, it doesn't matter what the plan is, but God is right here with us all the way. Christ has secured us. If someone were to come in the back door tonight, we've used this illustration quite often. If someone were to come in the back door tonight, deny Christ or you die. It's easy to say, Christ is mine. Christ is my King. Christ is my Lord. But how many of us can actually say, if someone were to come in here tonight, point blank in the face, said, you deny him or you're dead? So easy to say. But in our hearts and in our minds, can we be truthful to ourselves? One thing I love about this missions trip is especially now with all the delays and the devil working hard overtime, is the persistence of the pastor and everybody else that's with him. We are determined even now, even more now than when we were at the beginning. They've got 5,000 tracks with them, ready to go. And the devil has fought tooth and nail, plane problems, weather problems, problems after problems after problems. Shame on me, but I was like, maybe they're not supposed to go. Maybe they're not supposed to go right now. But then I thought, this is just a trial. This is something that they're going through. It's just a test. And thank the Lord for the men and the women who are there, who are faithful, and who look to God and say, you know what, God has a bigger plan. God has a better purpose. The container may not be able to be over there, but we can shove more tracks in them, and we can get more tracks in that container. And when that container gets over there, we're going to have a whole lot more tracks to deliver to the people who don't know. Can you imagine? We talk about the burning fiery furnace, but as the people are over there in Brazil and in the far deep parts of I want to call them woods, but it's kind of the right word, jungle. In the back part of the jungle, I think Pastor said 400 tribes. 400 tribes. Huh? 400 to 500 tribes that have never heard. Who have never heard one time of Jesus Christ, who have never heard of one time that Jesus Christ came and died for them. But thankful that they've gone with everything that's going on, the trial, the fire, amen, everything that's going on, that they're persistent. God has a bigger plan. Maybe we're delayed right now because something greater can happen when we get there, amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Almost 98% of our fights aren't physical. Amen. It's principalities and powers of the air. It's darkness of the world. It's Satan and his demons and everything that is just be throwing at people left and right. How are we going to go against that fire? How are we going to go against that trial? Do we have a commitment to help us? Are we committed? Say, you can start tonight. What better way than to make a commitment than it be tonight? That I am committed. God, with your help, I will commit such and such. God, by your help, I will commit that I, no matter what, unless I'm dead or in the hospital connected to tubes, I will be at church. We think, maybe it's just me, I don't know. But as humans, we think it's okay to sometimes, I got a stomach ache, can't make it tonight. Or I got a hangnail. Or I've got to get up and go to work at 2:00 in the morning. The times that you miss church and the times that I haven't able to been here, when I watch online, it's just not the same. It is not the same that it is being in your spot. And I'm pretty sure that most of us have our spot. Amen. My spot's right back there. Amen. Brother Jeremy, your spot's right there. Man, if someone were to come in and take my spot, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. When Brother Joe took my chair the other night, made me mad. I can't listen to the preacher in another spot. I don't even know where I was going with that, amen. But going through the trial, we have to make a commitment. We have to be committed to the things of God. A lot of times we want to make silly commitments to this world and to the things of this life, but are we really committed to the things that will count? Are we really committed to the things that will make a difference? Being committed to the bus route, it's tough, especially this day and age, to be committed. Those of you that help on Saturdays, we go out, we talk to kids. They're excited. Yeah, I'm coming. I'm coming. We've got 23 coming tomorrow. All right. We got one that rode the van. There's a lot of times, like, what's the point? What's the point? But another thing that has helped me is knowing my wife was a bus kid. And if someone would have gave up on my wife, if someone wasn't committed to the bus route for my wife, my wife may not even be in church today. I probably wouldn't be married to my wife. I wouldn't know my wife if she would have went off and done the things of the world. But thank God that someone committed. No matter what, no matter how hard it is, no matter if only one comes. The great song, Just One More Soul, were to walk down the aisle. It would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. Every heartache, every time I get up on Sunday mornings and we go through the bus list and I'm calling and I'm like, there are no, and there are no, and there are no, and maybe, and a no, and it's like, ah. But I've committed. My wife and I have committed that we're going to do it no matter what. Because it's not, I don't care for the glamour. I don't care for the show. I want to see those kids get saved. And seeing the 60-something kids that we had here on VBS throughout the whole week, and to see how excited they were, and to see their faces and how much joy they had, and throwing candy at them and hitting them in the face and going home with a black eye. We were committed. We made a commitment that week we were going to spend our lives, we were going to give our lives to Vacation Bible School. And we got 40-something kids out of it. But if we just stop because one kid says, yeah, I'm going to come, but I never come. And then all of them say, yeah, I'm going to come. I'm excited. We're going to go to church. And Miss Robin, she's in Sunday school now, or she's in junior church, and she's going to teach on this awesome lesson. And we're going to have this prize. And we're going to have this candy. And we just get them all excited about it. And then they don't come. But if you make the commitment, I will. And I'm just using the bus as an example. In your life, what are you committed to? What have you committed to? Say, I've committed, but I've kind of backslidden, or I've kind of laxed on it. What better night than to recommit that commitment? Amen? When you think about this, the boys had a commitment. They could have bowed down. They could have served the golden image. They could have served the fake God. And they would have turned their back on the one true God. They would have turned their back on everything that God had done for them up until that point and say, you know what? My life, it's my life, and I don't want to give up my life just for this. But they made a commitment. The commitment that steered them, Jesus that secured them, the consideration that settled them. Kind of jumped ahead of myself. The consideration that settled them. Verse number 21 says, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosens, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took them up. That took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace? Then answered and said unto the king, true, O king. I love this part. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Stepping back, when the boys were in the fire, they were cast down, and when the boys got up and they found out that they were no longer in bondage, they found out that they were free, they found that, you know, that they weren't in pain, their clothes weren't burnt. I think to myself, why didn't the boys get out right away? And I often think sometimes it's better to be in the fire with God. Yeah. I'm going to say that again, just in case you didn't hear. Sometimes it's better to be in the fire with God than out of the fire without God. If God has protected these boys in the fire, and I'm with Jesus, the one who controls everything, why in the world would I want to get out? I am safe right here next to Jesus. These boys were in the burning, seven times hotter than what it should have been, but they're next to Jesus. Sometimes it's better to be in the fire with God than to be out of the fire without God. When you're in the flame, are you looking for Jesus or are you blaming Jesus? Well, a lot of times, if we're honest, sometimes we blame Jesus. Sometimes we blame God for what's going on. If we're honest tonight, sometimes we blame, well, God, why would you let this happen? I've done it. We get off track. We lose sight of what's going on, and we lose sight of the commitment that we made, and we lose sight of the Christ that maybe secured them. Not lose your salvation, but lose the sight. And then they just kind of blame God for what's going on in their life. May we never get to that point. And if we have, oh, well, you're an outcast, you shouldn't be here no more. No. Come back. Make the commitment. As I've said, make the commitment tonight. God, here's my commitment. And you know what helps to keep the commitment? Is to tell a friend. Brother Means, I made this commitment. If you could help me, every time you see me, even send me a text. Hey, how you doing? On this commitment. You know, you've committed to make sure you're here every Saturday on soul winning. We missed you last Saturday. What happened? Are you okay? Everything okay? Can I pray for you? Can I help you out? Just an example. I've committed. Make the commitment. The commitment that steered them, the Christ that secured them, the consideration that settled them. As I stated, the three Hebrew boys could have complained about the situation, and they would have missed the blessing in the flame. If we're honest again tonight, a lot of times when we blame God, when we blame everything around us, when we blame the circumstances of everything around us, sometimes we miss the blessing. Sometimes we miss what God is actually trying to do. And then we have to go through the flame again. And then we have to go through the trial again. God, I just don't understand. Why am I going through this again? I'm glad that He's the God of the valley. And even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, God is there with us. And I love the verse that says, God will never leave us nor forsake us. If I can make a shirt, God will never leave me nor forsake me, ever. I'm in the palm of His hand. Victory came when they recognized Jesus was in the flame with them. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through a hardship, when you're going through a heartache, when the finances aren't there and you're going through a hard time. Well, God, why wouldn't, well, don't blame God. All right, God, I may not understand what you're doing, and I may not understand why we're going this route, But God, okay, I'm here with you. And God, whatever you decide, whichever plan you have for me, I want to commit that I will not back away from that. I will not get mad. I will not get discouraged. I will not get discouraged. I will not quit. If we're honest again tonight, how many times when we're going through the fire, we say, I just want to quit. I just want to give up. It doesn't matter. Visitors don't come. Why do we go out soul winning? If that's the mindset that we always have, when we go out soul winning and we give 2 hours a day, 2 hours a day, we've got 24 hours a day, but we give 2 hours of our time and we go out and we knock on the door and say, hey, my name is Brett. I'm from Moore Baptist Church and I'm just out in the neighborhood inviting people to church. Do you have a home church somewhere? And they say, no. And you get to talk and you're like, yeah, we're going to come visit tomorrow. And then they don't come. You have the choice to get discouraged, to quit, and to give up. Or you can go back the next week. Hey, I missed you. Something happened. You said you were going to come, and I was really looking forward to you. You know, I told the people at the church Wednesday night, hey, pray for so and so. They're going to come, and we want to see visitors come and see people get saved and see people join the church and see people get on fire for God. Amen. We want to see people get on fire for God. I don't want to be a part of a dead, dry church. Amen. And I believe that we're not. I believe our church is thriving, and I believe our church has a passion for souls and a passion for missions. Amen. We 60-something missionaries, I think. We have a passion. We have a desire to see things happen in this church and in this community. We've committed. Pastor has committed. I will not quit. I can't even begin to think everything that Pastor goes through throughout the week. The phone calls, the upset emails, the upset text messages. Well, Matthew left a track at my door. How dare he? It said no soliciting on there. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, everything that he has to go through, plus on top of studying and taking care of the flock and taking care of his family and taking care of the church and everything that he does. But he has committed. He has surrendered his life to God and saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what goes on. He may have times where he gets discouraged and when he gets down, but as a church, we pray for him and we lift him up and we encourage him and we say, Pastor, I love you, and keep on keeping on, just like he says to us all the time. Keep on keeping on. When the doors are open, come into your place. Be committed to your place. Be committed to your chair. Amen. If your chair is gone, be committed anyway. Amen. Be committed anyway. We can find another chair. Amen. Be committed. The commitment that steered them. The Christ that secured them. The consideration that settled them. To stress enough, it is very important when going through trials to look to God. I think, if we're honest tonight, I think everybody's going through something. You're either going through a trial, coming out of a trial, getting ready to go back into one. And I think, especially with the whole COVID thing, it discouraged a lot of people. And it deterred a lot of people from church. But if they could just make a commitment, that God, no matter what, I'm going to serve you. No matter if my family makes fun of me, or if my family disowns me, or my friends don't want to be my friends anymore because I think church is more important, who cares? It's not about the materialistic things here on earth. It's about treasures being laid up in heaven, amen. It's about going out and reaching people for the cause of Christ. I say it all the time, and I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I just kind of want to make it a point to have the commitment to serve God. To have the commitment to serve God. Where are you at tonight? Is there a commitment that you've made, but you kind of backed off on? Well, you know, times have gotten hard, or whatever the case may be. Come back and commit to God tonight. All right, God, I've gotten away from the commitment. God, I want to recommit that commitment to you. And God, I know you've secured me. And it doesn't matter what comes my way. We got to charge hell with a water pistol. Amen. We have a job to do here. And our job is to win souls to Christ. To point other people to Christ. And if we're not doing that, we're wasting our life. we talk about all the time about the materialistic things of getting a nice house or a nice truck and doing all these material things. But in the end, in heaven, when the judgment seat, when, man, we had the opportunity. We had the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And because we didn't want to get made fun of, or because our commitment wasn't where it needed to be, or our commitment wasn't strong, we missed that opportunity. Where are you at tonight? What's your commitment? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes.